shame. He stares in the eyes of the man who despises him.
Even today, this is my real mother. Said when I came out the womb, my little black sister was raised in the air like bird. And she was proud, because I was going to take after her and not give her to the moon.
Welcome to Flight 3D. This is your captain speaking. We ask that you please note the emergency exits and safety signs in the event our journey becomes just too deep.
All right, we're going to get into the language that I like. The Lord is powerful, bright.
And can't put a basketball down. He leaped tall, Super Nigga, in a single bound. Super Nigga ain't got no degrees, he ain't got no time for that. Street corner, crack houses, projects, his natural habitat. Super Nigga got super strength, speed, and agility. So it's understandable when the cops beat him down to the best of their ability. Super Nigga has no supervision, instead, he has super issues. Between 17 and 25 super inches, used to satisfy them super
sisters. Well, they clone little black girls who won't die but fight. Well, they clone little black girls who supplement stamina for endless struggles to write. Well, they clone little black girls like Asada, Sonia, Tubman, knowing what they know. Well, they clone little black girls like Nikki, Zora, Mommy, Grandma. Who orchestrate training?
Ain't nobody got more than us. Aspiring artists spit saliva in their palms, producing hits, making noise with their fists. Lanky limbros with afros break beats and pop lock on dance flows. Made a combo.
Let me talk to you for a second.
Hands. Faith and dream destiny is God's plan. Listen, God always was, and man exists before religion. How you gonna let faith and denomination manipulate and separate? Tell Satan no means no. Life he can't rape, can't murder my dreams. There's one God. We all descendants of Adam, one blood. You're my brothers and sisters, one love, and my God. Wouldn't look at me sideways if I practice Islam in the synagogues. For a yarmulke, the church, truth hurts. I need Jesus, Moses, and Mohammed. Even research the Enoch, the Ethiopian prophet. Ain't no sin against knowledge but you. Rather backbite and gossip. Me, I pray to the Father. My spiritual, biblical cord is connected to the Lord where I feed. Get what I want and need. Holy books to read. Hoping I can reach you. They say my people don't want to be preached to. But somebody better tell a young boy in broad daylight to the triggers. They ain't no gangster niggas. You was created in the image of God. And that young girl, letting the jeans low ride. Associate testifies. Cash flow low, she spreads thighs. Somebody better talk to about God. And bless it on the peacemakers. But you say you support the truth. I just want to know what would Jesus do. And I got more questions I got the answers to. Like life's a struggle. We born to fight. But it seems like Satan got two Glock 9s and hand bombs. And all I'm working with is a rusty knife. But I will not lose is my mantra. No weapon forged against me so prosper. So I pray for this corrupt evil system. And I'm brave abuse victims. I pray for them young boys and girls that keep dying. And them parents keep trying. I pray for that preacher, the Pope, and talking about nothing. Politics that keep bluffing. I pray. I pray and pray till it hurts. Then I get off my knees and do work. Like I'm living life on borrowed time. Love waking up to the sunshine. Can't complain when it rains. It's all acts of God. And so much of me has died on Philly's north side, but I've been reborn. Painting pictures with colorful words to create my own utopia. And through reading, if I never leave the city blocks, I can visit the Coptic Church in Ethiopia. Not meet people, facilitate conversations, make your experiences mine. Beautiful minds love truth. I am proof of God's existence. Testament is inside me. Perception is a reality. If you don't bother to scratch beneath the surface, then your opinions of me are worthless. I can stand up here and philosophize like the Greek man Plato. Tell tales like Africa, Aesop fables. Conjure up spirits from North Philly to Soweto. Or kick poems like I'm backed up by two turntables. Like yes, yes, y'all, don't stop, keep on. The struggle been hard, but we got to keep on. It's set precedence. We can elect God for president. Put a church steeple in the White House. There's a message inside me and I gotta let it out. And grow wings. I've been blessed by the King of Kings with abundance of wealth. Life changed for me when I read Naeem Akbar's No Thy myself. And from the first time to the last time I stood up and recite poems, since I've been looking at me with eyes of deep hope. One in each truth in a poet's quotes, but I tell them I'm the reflection of the great I am. A black man whose descendants are African, and this declaration puts me in war with imperialistic white men who want to miseducate my children. So I put pen to paper, bring it to existence. The original people commend who meant to success my spirituality and intellect, and this puts me in conflict with the dumbing down of America's ghetto youth. I am proof that where you start is not where you finish. So these words can be beautiful, like a woman's orgasms that smokes you, or they can hold you, like the faithful arms of a man that loves you. But just like a woman who has sexually frigid, too many of my people just ain't getting it. I turn a blind eye to those who hate me. I'm covered in the spirit of my mother's love, and she's looking down on me from up above. I am senator for my North Philly residents, and I cast my ballot with my soul and elected my God for president.
Welcome. This is Industry Mondays. It's the business of spoken words. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am one of the co-hosts. The other host is Nansouni. Today, we're looking at spoken word from the fan's point of view. We're going to have a little technical difficulty here, but we're going to move on. So as we wait for the system to catch up, we're just, if there anyone out there, you can call in. The call-in number is 646-716-7994. That's 646-716-7994. Poets, you can come in and spit tonight. And if you're a fan of spoken word, we especially want you to call in today. We want to hear from the fan's point of view. How do you view spoken word? What do you feel about it? Where do you see the spoken word industry going? What do you want to see in spoken word? You know, I would like to see spoken word do this. I would like to see spoken word do that. I would like to see spoken word in. I would like to see spoken word received. I would like spoken word artists, you know, finish those sentences. What would you like to see in spoken word? And let us know, what do you see? And, you know, let us know what you feel the artists may can do better, the industry may can do better, and how fans can support spoken word, and what you think needs to be done to bring spoken word where you want it. So, again, if you call in to 646-716-7994, or you can just come on over to Blog Talk radio.com/NBBTA. That's http://blogtalkradio.com/NBBTA. You just come on over. You can join us in the chat room as well as call in and talk to us live and let us know how you feel. So, right now, and as I stated, we wanted to hear from the fans what the fans would like to do. And currently, our special guest is supposed to be Quincy Stallworth, and we're waiting for Quincy to call in. I'll admit right now, at this moment, because of technical difficulties, I cannot see the the studio, the call-in board. To see the numbers, to see who has called in. But if you are calling in and you have called in and you're waiting, I will be with you in a moment. I am just going to, right now, my browser is not responsive, so it's holding me up. So as I speak to you, what I'm doing is just moving to another browser, and that way I can see everyone who's calling in. And we can keep this moving. If you like to spit and you call then, just stay aboard. I will bring you on, or we'll bring on some more spoken word as we get the system in order. Now, we started off with what's called the MGP mix. And this wonderful gentleman, he took about at least 10 CDs I had of spoken word, and all of them had, I think the shortest one had 6 pieces on it. So all of them had, I guess, between 6 and 12 pieces on them. And he went through them all and made me that wonderful mix. It lasts about a minute or so. But he made that mix. And that includes pieces from Bernard Collins, Super Nigga, number one. He's done 2 of them. But that's from the first Super Nigga by Bernard Collins. And then you heard a little bit of Queen. You heard some Tommy Bottoms in there. You heard Lois Moses. And I think that's about it. It was Bernard Collins, Tommy, Queen, Lois Moses. Those were the main poets in that piece. And he did a mix called, and we just call it the MGP mix, and it opens up the show every week. And then we had God for President, and that's by Mrs. Betty Sun, and it's been done a couple times, a couple remixes. I think that's our remix of it. The original was done and produced by Katie Morris from Black Star Records, and that was on Mrs. Betty Sun. The double track, I almost was 2006. So that's what you were just listening to. So again, we are on our way back into the studio. And if you are on the line, just please hold, because I will bring you back, because we have quickly arrived here to sound the new browser. Had to chuck Internet Explorer and come on over to Google Chrome. And I knew this where I should be. Google Chrome does me right. Okay, so we're going to listen to a couple more pieces as we go back and check on Mr. Stallworth, our special guest. And again, just call in if you have any questions. The number is 646-716-7994. And now we are going to go to, we just got finished listening to God for President, and we are going to go to, well, we'll hear some libations, and then we'll move into Poetry for a Living. Libations by Brothers Keepers. And this is Libations 1 from the album The Resurrection.
I invoke the spirit of the ancestors. Adhering to my role in the village, I asked for permission to speak from the elders, and it was granted by Grand Grand and Baba. Tribal traditions call for the remembrance of those who have fought the good fight and gone on before us. We receive them with Ashe, which means it is done. Soldiers like Shaka Zulu,
Ashe.
King Hannibal,
Ashe.
Queen Nefertiti,
Ashe.
Nat Turner,
Ashe.
Harriet Tubman,
Ashe.
Sojourner Truth,
I say.
Marcus Garvey,
I say.
Malcolm X,
I say.
Martin Luther King,
I
Jr.,
say.
Fred Hampton Sr.,
I say.
Patrice Lumumba,
I say.
Amos Wilson,
I say.
Huey Newton,
I say.
Betty Shabazz,
I say.
To all our fallen soldiers, we say,
I say.
I say.
Every time I tell somebody I do poetry for a living, they look at me weird. Like they don't believe that it's possible. I tell them that it is. I tell them I don't make my living off giving people reasons to buy a CD. That's crazy. I make my living off giving people reasons to live outside the box. outside the cell block, outside the cubicle. I tell them that a life lived without boundaries is beautiful. I tell them that the body can do whatever the mind chooses to. And I ain't got no illusions or grandeur. I know where my story ends, but yours begins whenever you get ready to move. Want to be a lawyer? Take your ass back to school. You only got a short time on this earth, so while you here, you better find your niche and work on it like your life depends upon it, because tomorrow isn't promised. Failure's not an option. Want to be a dancer? Get it popping. Work your angles like an architect with all your tears, blood, and sweat. Then disregard the people that'll tell you you're crazy, because they too scared or lazy and too complacent to make the necessary changes. This life is about risk. Jumping in with both feet, because the answer could be just beneath the surface, and the timing ain't never going to be perfect. But only 2% of the people on this planet actually do what they want. 60% of the people on this planet work for them. The other 38% are just too far gone. So you better get in where you fit in while you still can. Otherwise, die wondering what could have been. And when you think about it like that, doing poetry for a living makes perfect sense. It puts me in that 2%. I only answer to God. Program managers can't censor my shit. I'm a prophet that prophesies and profits. No gimmicks. I give it to you the same way God gave it to me. The pen is a pistol. The words are a nightstick. I just beat you over the head till you submit. No blue pill, just red. Here's some water. Swallow this. And this ain't about performing. This is 2 doses of reality. Call me in the morning. This is word is bond. This is you better get your piece of the pie before it's gone. This is 1 part heart, 4 parts persistence. Cover the pot and let it simmer. Guess who's coming to dinner? Opportunity's knocking. Better pop the lock and let them enter. This is 2005. You can start a business with an internet connection and a laser printer. No excuses. Get on your mission and consider all this the next time you fix your face to ask me what I do for a living.
Yeah, okay, that was Lamar Anthony Hill, Poetry for a Living, and that's from his album Black Male. We're going to move on, and we're going to move on to, let me see. That's Revolution by Tommy Bottoms.
In my life was a novel yet to be written. And since I can't turn a page, I burn a stage when I'm spitting. Ripping with God-given ability, with the agility of Walter Payton is prime. See, I'm a bad poker hand. See, I'm one of a kind. And my man Sully, who likes to ride the coupes, man, he hit it on the dime when he told me that revolution will always be considered a crime. So I have no choice but to run against the grain, because I am revolution. And that's no metaphor, no silly gimmick. I don't do poetry, I live it. I don't recite it, I spit it. And this game of life was a death match, so best believe I'm in it to win it. And I walk in the spirit of Malcolm X and Nat Turner. I'm a crook and a bookworm with a blunt and a burner. And I told Ted Turner there's a new mouth in the South, because when I cock back my tongue, it'll make your brains hang out. See, I didn't master this lyrical misogyny. See, I'm the difference between chaos and harmony. See, I'm a quiet ride that's too cold to hold, so don't even try it. See, I'll put your fat farm on a diet, because I'm raising the stakes of this game so high that Viacom can't even buy it. And speaking of the medium, really getting heated with all these black radio and television stations always acting like the community activists, but actually perpetuate the very mentality that's pulling us backwards. Bastards booby-trapped the airways with buffoonery and blackface, and I bet they got a bad taste in their mouth from all that bullshit they be talking. And since I'm up here soapboxing, I might as well go ahead and say it. The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People is an outdated organization. I mean, when was the last time somebody called you colored? Man, it's time to face the fact that we live in a drug and thug culture of X and crack and coke and smacking these young cats that's fresh off the Similac and already know how to load a gat and flip a pack and become high school dropouts to hit the block because they street game is way tighter than a jump shot. And I'm sorry, but you can't fix no shit like that with a boycott. See, it's time to revolutionize the revolution. And playing politics is organized confusion. And you can't pick up a 9 and just start shooting. You got the first pinpointed target. Because if you want to battle the beast, you got to be a marksman. Because a sharp mind makes a sharp shooter. So with one single thought, you can devise a plot to take over the world with a gat and a laptop computer. Because see, that's revolution, because the primary purpose of people in power is to make sure they maintain their power. So the powers that be will never provide the people with the proper path to power, because that would be a conflict of interest. And since knowledge is power, you got to be relentless in your pursuit of the truth with the vengeance of a condemned man trying to prove his innocence. That's revolution.
Greetings, people. This is Cody Chestnut, Two Capital P's, and you're listening to Brother Hezekiah, Cure for the Common Soul.
Don't love you. Said you don't know nothing till you know that I love you. You, till you know I love you.
Ooh, you know that one plus one equals two, and that's two times two is four. You know that a rose is all red and violets are blue, but you can stand to learn a little more.
But you don't know nothing till you know that I love you.
Do you know I love you?
I
do.
Don't know nothing till you know that I love you. You, baby, I know I can reach you. I'll show you, I'll teach you. 'Cause you don't know nothing till you know that I love you. You. Till you know that I love you.
Ooh, you know I love long walks in the park, like the ones we always take.
You
know I love long talks in the dark and how they make us stray away. But you don't know how much I love you. Baby, I do love you. You don't know.
I know I can reach you. I'll show you, I'll teach you. 'Cause you don't know nothing till you know that I love you. You, baby, if you just follow the yearning, then soon you'll be learning. 'Cause you
don't know nothing, don't know nothing, don't
know
don't,
nothing,
don't know
you
nothing,
don't know nothing,
don't know
you
nothing,
don't know nothing,
don't know nothing,
don't know nothing,
don't know
you
nothing,
don't know nothing,
don't know
nothing,
don't know nothing,
don't know nothing,
don't know
you
nothing,
don't know nothing,
don't
know.
Thinking everything is great, this shit is making me Earl. Sickness, this world is so disgusting. disgusting. Money, greed, envy, no one to put your trust in. Vietnam vets that live straight the street. Addicted to chemicals, ain't got nothing to eat. Drama, part of the karma that you just can't avoid. But for something to be created, something must be destroyed. I accept all of this is just energy changing. And the part that's the truth is always what's remaining. So if you're true to self in these last days and times, reaffirm love and freedom, soul, body, your mind, and say, ah, experience the good and the bad.
Hello. We're back to Industry Mondays, the business of spoken word, and we have a caller on the line from 768. Can I help you?
This is DC, the voice of reason.
Okay. How are you, sir?
I'm all right, yourself?
I'm doing good. And are you a spoken word artist, or you a lover of spoken word, or what?
Both. I'm a spoken word artist. A very deep cover of spoken word. It's my first time on the show. Wanted to see if I can do a little something on here on the show.
Okay. Well, give us a little something.
Okay. Let me know when you're ready.
We're ready. We're ready for you. Go ahead.
I was shot long before I could ever commit to the healing. Because hollow points don't have souls. Starstruck with dying to stay alive. And failures are fertilized with tears that are covered by blankets of gun smoke. And death is choked by the hands of circumstance to the sequel of regret. And all this happens even before the sun sets. So success confessed that it kept my reality lying. It was like a comedian marrying a mortician. I had to laugh to keep from crying, because even though I was trying, I was failing. Homeschooled with adversity that taught me lessons with questions that went unanswered. I felt like a cancer that needed a zodiac to belong to, a star that needed a sky to belong to, a soul that needed a peace of mind to belong to. So I kept switching dealers because I hated the hands I was dealt, not knowing my wealth was dictated by my worth. And to make matters worse, my tongue was cursed with the cost of negligence that almost killed my unborn seed, leaving me to raise this bastard child of reality as a commodity with no investors. And this thing called life was paid to test us. And dreams were boxed up and put on shelf for rainy days that never come. And truth be told, these ghettos only exist in a state of mind that could easily change area codes. Because freedom was sold with a vision with no glasses. So for my own protection, I went God's direction, expecting a harvest that could feed nations under one God and one statement. Cheat death by speaking life into one that's not promised. I said cheat death by speaking life into one that's not promised. Cheat death by speaking life into one that's not promised. I told life that love made it easier to deal with. But I'm so sick of excuses cooked in promises just so we can digest it. And my gauge of anger is always tested within these city limits of race, of one color with different shades. Hating to love how I was raised, unfazed by drive-bys, because that's how I keep track of time. Death divided by crime. And it's only a matter of time when pissy hallways will only convict those who choose to ignore the stench. And I resent the fact that my lies are the only thing that made my reality make sense. And I'm convinced that love don't love me the way it used to, because I ain't seen God in days. And even though I pray for better days, I'm tired of fighting and tired of writing about one day we shall overcome, when my words become useless to a heart that has nothing to listen to. But faith made my third eye more visible, resurrecting hopes of changing my ghettos to condos, allowing my nose to smell salvation without getting a chance to taste it, accusing my heart of being racist, because let's face it, covering a wound with a Band-Aid don't mean that it's healing, because resentment ain't user-friendly, because freedom attempted to buy peace and it's still on layaway. So I looked at brighter days straight in the face without taking no for an answer, to cancel out these egos that chose to ease God out, because even though I haven't seen God in days, I still know he's on his way. I said, even though I haven't seen God in days, I still know he's on his way. Even though I haven't seen God in days, I still know he's on his way. And that's the
That was hot. I really enjoyed that. Got good response from that. So give us the name again one more time. Give us the name of the piece and who's it by, and let us know where you're from.
Well, I live in Miami, Florida. The name of the piece is Children of the Ghetto, and it's by me. I wrote it myself. So.
Okay, now give us the name one more time.
DC, the Voice of Reason. That's my name.
Easy, the Voice of Reason?
DC.
DC, the Voice of Reason. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All righty, cool. So, DC, the Voice of Reason. Okay.
Now, on Facebook, if you don't look at me on Facebook, just David Crouch together, Crouch, space, DC, the Voice of Reason, all together. So that's how you find me.
Okay. All righty. All righty, that's cool. Well, we're going to do right now, because our guest actually hasn't called in, and I don't know if they forgot or what, but we had just wanted to, we were going to listen to the fans this week to see what they felt about spoken word. But still, since, you know, you love spoken word and you do spoken word, let us know. I'd like to hear from you. You know, what drove you to do spoken word? How were you inspired to do spoken word?
I've been doing it seriously, like as far as like at different places and cities for the last 2 years, give or take. A friend of mine took me to a poetry spot about 2 years ago, and I was hooked then. So I started writing a lot then. And but I never thought that I could be bold enough to do it, and you know, to do spoken word like that. So I realized the power of words, you know, because I have a very strong spiritual background. So I realized there's life and death in the tongue and the power of words. So I started doing research on spoken word and kind of really getting into it, and I started loving the metaphors and how they express themselves, and I just got addicted to it, and I was like, I could do this. So I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri, but when I moved to Miami 2 years ago, I went to a spoken word night, and I did one on a dare. And when I did, the guy host was like, "Oh, do you know another one?" I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "Well, come back next week." So I came back next week, and I did another one, and he kept inviting me back. So then people started inviting me to different places in Miami. Then I got invited to different cities. So it kind of like a snowball effect. So the more people invited me, the more I wrote. I kind of got into my writing, and the rest is history, basically.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So then what do you feel about spoken word?
Well, I think...
as an industry. Here we talk about Industry Mondays. First of all, do you view...
I would say, yeah, I think spoken word is definitely a genre in its own. I think it has the potential of becoming bigger than what it is. But the thing about it is, in my opinion about spoken word artists and some people, because everybody's intentions are different when it comes to it. Now, there's nothing wrong with making money from it and all of that, but once that overpowers the reason why you're doing it, it kind of like makes it meaningless. It kind of takes away from what it is, the art form. And the art form is what attracts people to it. It's not the money. It's not the track that people play with it. It's, you know, because when spoken word was first done, it wasn't done with tracks. It wasn't done with all this other stuff with it. So it was just the voice and the mic, and that's it. So... You know, when you're oversaturated with stuff that really doesn't have nothing to do with spoken word, it takes away from it.
Okay. Now, I like to say this from this side. You know, I understand that, but I think sometimes in people believing that, because I definitely believe the word can stand alone, but I think the diversity and the flexibility of the word also allows it to be played with different type of music and everything.
Well, it can.
And so,
it definitely can.
Yeah.
It definitely works.
But the word,
a lot of...
you know, I believe the word should be central. Now, mind you,
right.
I believe that anything you do and build should be built around a word. As
right.
opposed to rappers, generally they're driven by a beat. They get a beat,
right.
and the beat drives them to write.
Right.
And so in spoken word, the word is what came first.
Right. Right.
And,
and you know what? You are so right, and I definitely agree with you. But like you just said, you don't want to get away from the spoken word aspect of it. So this is what I always tell poets when I talk about spoken word. God was the first spoken word artist. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
Yes.
God didn't have no thundering rolling behind it. He just used his voice and everything. Now, my thing is, ain't I wrong with having tracks and stuff with it? Matter of fact, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with some of that. But when it takes away from the essence of spoken word, then to me, that's when it becomes a problem. You know, because, you know, then a lot of people want to piggyback on that instead of being innovative. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of ways you can be creative with spoken word. Where you don't have everybody don't have to do the same thing. You can do a lot of different things. But a lot of people are so comfortable and lax and love to be in that box because it's safe. And me, I don't like putting myself in a box.
Well, I think some of it more than is an issue. I think because definitely spoken word is a socially driven art form.
Right.
And because people
right.
want to keep it pure and don't what they call commercial, I think they confuse that with production.
Right.
Anyone,
I
don't care if you're singing, if you're doing spoken word, if you're when your production, unless you are you know, musician and you do an instrumental piece, never should the music ever overpower anything. So that is really a poor production choice. And but because they spoken word artists, I think, sometimes go in thinking that what happens is you come out with poor production.
Right.
Now, and
right.
I have an example here is I was playing pieces. And I started off just playing spoken word pieces. And they're not all in a row, and to break some of it up, and because Blog Talk has taken off a lot of my things, so I don't really have my normal pool of spoken word to pull from. But
right.
I played, then I went to What Kinda Cool. Poetry for a Living went, that was Lamar Hill. I think they had some music to it in the background. And like I said, I think, because no matter what, the piece is good. He does some a cappella, he does some with music, but no matter what, I always remember the words. See, any quality composition, just like in a movie, a quality composition will help the story
and
help make people remember the story. But
right.
then I did One Kinda Cool, then I went to Stephanie Renee. It's a piece she does a cappella, still singing, nice jazzy piece. Then I went to Brother Moon I Rise, You Appreciation. But the quality of the production. Now, mind you, before What Kinda Cool, that was a production, and that was hip-hop with music, you know, hip-hop and some singing. Then we went to Stephanie Nate a cappella, and then I went to spoken word piece. They had some music behind it, but because of the quality of the production, you could hear it. And the words are good, but if people, I wonder how many people stood around long enough to listen to get into.
And you know what? And that's my point exactly. And let me add something to what you're saying. Music or singing or anything you're doing other than speaking it, is the only thing that's supposed to do is set the atmosphere of the piece. That's it. It ain't supposed to oversaturate the words. It ain't supposed to overwhelm the words, because when you go into the music aspect of it and the track, like you just said, it takes away, if it's a bad production, it takes away from the words. And if it takes away from the words, then it's not doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, and see, poor production, but see, poor production, whether it's a cappella or not, like I told you, Stephanie Renee was singing, but she was a cappella. Then the next piece went to a spoken word piece. It had music behind it, but it wasn't produced as well. As far as just the production, it wasn't mixed and mastered, so you didn't have the strength and clarity that you just had previously before with somebody with no music. So I just say that, you know, as a fan of spoken word, but for our artists, because I'm working to make a viable industry, that you want quality production. Because if you feel your word is truly so powerful and you can speak life into it, then it needs to reach more people than just the people you are doing on a platform. And so, but if it's quality enough,
but I can
throw it in a mix with anything, if it's produced well, and I can throw it in radio quality mix, then I can get more people to play it. More people play
and
it,
you know,
more
what?
People hear it.
And you know,
but
what?
They won't confuse the word, spoken word, with production, because they say, oh, that wasn't, that's that spoken word. They don't expect it to be produced well.
Right.
But that's not so.
Here's another dynamic of spoken word that is not, is lost. Because I have heard so many spoken word artists, I can't even count. And the best of the best that I've heard are the people that have been, who have spoken with conviction and truth. Because if it's the truth, it's going to convict you no matter what the who the artist is. And that's the main thing that's being lost. My thing is, you can say a metaphor that's cute and that's clever and all it, but what's your point? And what's the point in the piece? What are you trying to say? What message are you trying to convey?
And if you're not doing
or
that.
Or you're just trying to get the accolades. If you're just trying to get accolades and people to say, I'm this and that,
it's two types of spoken word artists and two types of poets. And it's the same on both ends. It's people that want to be effective, and it's people that want to be seen. And I've seen it on both ends. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is, if you're not being effective, what's the purpose of doing it? Because poetry, let me go deep with it. Poetry is supposed to be a ministry. When I first hear you, I'm not supposed to be the same person as I am after I hear you. If I am, you have not done your job. Bottom line.
Okay.
Just so.
No, I just laugh because I have an artist I work with. He is just like that. I had to calm him down. So I was like, you know what? Some people actually do it for the art of it. you know, it is mostly social change, but there is, you know, people that do it for the art of it. And, you know, some people, you know, do it for the art of it. And this was a person on the stage at the time, you know, on a mic that was, you know, liking it to these, you know, really esoterical. And because there's some people I know that go esoterical, but that's because they're on just a different plane and level, you know, that maybe everybody's not at. But this guy was just esoterical, and he was trying to, it was just about poetry and the art of poetry and what poetry could do and these things. And it was just his mind, you know. And I had a person in my phobia in the bank. He's like, did you see Joker? You almost saying the same thing you were saying. And
you know why I'm so hyped like that person is? Because it's like, this is my passion. You know, I didn't choose poetry. You know, people are like, David, you're a good writer. You need, you know, think about writing poetry. And poetry became my therapy. But when it became my therapy, I said, you know what? I don't want to just be my therapy because I want to be, I can't just be selfish and keep this to myself because I can say something in my poetry that can affect somebody else and help them. So then I started saying, okay, well, let me do it not just for myself but for people. So God used my pen ridiculously. I got a piece about, and it's called To Whom We May Concern, and I put this on Facebook and lit Facebook up with this poem. And the reason why it's called that, because one of my friends found out I did poetry. He's like, you do poetry? And like it was no big deal. I said, no, I do ministry because poetry is a ministry. And he was like, what do you mean? So I let him hear a piece, and he was like, wow, I never looked at poetry like that. And you're not held accountable for what you don't know. But when you do know, you are. So my thing is that what I did is I started really having integrity with my words. I didn't just write stuff down just to be cool or for it to sound right. It has to have a point to it. And you can't write stuff unless it has a point to it. It's you know, what's the purpose? So that's why people like the guy and me, we take this stuff seriously. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It's like you coming in my house and not taking your shoes off at the door. You playing. You know what I'm saying? So, oh, no.
Yeah, it's for that reason. I love art. I've been touched by art. You know, my gift is marketing. And I write. I probably do more technical writing than anything, but, you know, and I even wrote poetry. I took extra classes in English and math in high school. That's how geeky I am with it. So I did that through college. But I really, when I started marketing, then I got into the visual arts. Then I got into theater arts, and so the theater arts really started getting into more spoken word and working with spoken word artists. And I just saw, like, I heard some things called the best kept secret, but I'm not lying. I hear things and I see them. They touch me and wonderful. But I know for a fact that if this young person heard that, if that person heard that, I hear people that say things, and the things that they say, I say, if they can only hear what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
So they would think differently.
Right.
they wouldn't believe that all black folk are like this. I mean, that's my Korean kids. Yeah, I mean, because their reality, they don't get exposed to this. You know, everybody doesn't know about these open mics and things and all. They're more prevalent now, but a lot of them know that they can just go to or it's in their neighborhood and they can sit and listen to quality things or the bad things become their main things and they think truly how life is. And, like, all they want is, you know, to make money and have a big car and, you know, that's everybody's goal right now.
Right.
And, you know, say if they can hear what I hear.
Right.
So to me, then, why can't they hear what I hear?
Right.
And we know mainstream is not going to allow that. So now that we have the internet, social media, you can have a direct relationship with your fan. But you still have to compete with other things that they're hearing when it comes, you know. So the one thing, why hip-hop music is, can the most negative message can get prevailed so well because they take the best beat, the best quality music. They work at it. They put together because you don't do one just one beat. It's, you know, anything done well, it's layered.
Right.
And they find the best beats and then they put the worst word to them. But the beat drops the word home. And but what happens is we had a spoken word, and then when you produce it, even if you produce it bare, it's not whether it's with music or not with music, it's the quality of your production. Even when you're going a cappella, if you don't, when you go to record that, if you don't have it mixed and mastered, your quality, it starts to sound hollow.
Right.
And that may be cool if you're just listening to that. But then if somebody listens to, you know, just say they listen to Beyonce and then they turn on your spoken word that's not produced well, the difference will seem so extreme. They won't know that the difference is just the production.
Right.
They're just going to figure spoken word just isn't that good.
Right.
You know, it's okay and all, but it's nothing. It's not really that good. And what I found, most people have a linear vision of what they feel spoken word is.
Right.
And so in that, you know, with that linear vision that people have, they, you know, it's because they haven't heard the well-produced.
Right.
And so, you know, I even have a poem I wrote called Spoken Perceptions, but the word can stand alone. It can go anywhere, anyway. But my thing, I just want most, you know, poets to know that when you go in this studio, your goal is to produce an excellent product. If your goal, if you always have a goal to produce excellent spoken word, then anything touching a word should also be excellent.
True.
Of course. Whatever goes around a word should never overpower the word. It complements the word. So that's an agreement you make with your producer. And the next thing is, if you're talking to a producer or something and you're speaking with them, if they do not, they don't have to love it, but they have to respect it. If you feel they don't really respect poetry, no matter how good they are, it's time to walk away. I always feel you can get the best out of a person that believes in what you're doing.
Right.
And you'll find a lot of quality producers that have to produce so much junk that I've had them, they have been excited, and they've been blessings to me because they're so glad to sit for five more hours with something positive than what they have to sit with, you know, on a normal in order to make their living. But I feel the key thing is to, especially if you can find a producer that's a musician,
right,
then they know how
right.
to create a composition.
Right, I agree.
And
I
then also, like I said, they have to at least respect spoken word. If they don't respect it, they're going to treat it like they, however they feel. You know, if they got a linear vision or they don't feel that it, you know, they have to respect it. And then you have a person that's going to work with you. You're going to put out a quality product where your word is going to stand out.
Right.
And when you do a whole piece, you know, I don't feel it all should be bare, but it all shouldn't even be with music. You want to give people different experiences.
Right.
And so you pick and choose. And it's just like, you know, the advice. Now you have a quality product that can compete production-wise, which most people don't know. They don't understand that's what it is. But it sounds just as good as everything else. It's radio quality. So somebody really likes it and they want to put it on radio. Because sometimes you have to have opportunities with college radio and different specialty shows. They do have opportunities to put it on radio outside of just internet radio, but there's some big internet radio stations that play wonderful music and spoken word.
Right.
So you just want to make sure that you're just producing a quality product. And
right.
therefore, you know, now, you know, you just, it's level on the playing field.
Right.
So I'm not saying going to go for the commercialism of it. You just want to produce a quality product so the playing field is level and people can hear your word. They don't get lost in, or they don't confuse poor production with your word and then not listen to your word because for
exactly.
some reason doesn't sound
exactly.
right, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Now, hold on, Dave. We're going to bring on our guest. This is Quincy Sean Stallworth. And, one of the artists I work with is Mrs. Betty's son, a.k.a. Shice, and that's the one I told you that, like, was freaking out when a guy was esoterical and felt he feels you're supposed to change. Your poetry is supposed to change, make a difference.
Right.
And on his page, I always see Quincy post because I manage the fan page. And I saw him do a post. I'm not sure I think it was on his page or maybe another page, but where he spoke about spoken word and what he was telling the artist, I was like, wow, this person really is into spoken word and encouraging them. Oh, and he made a statement that I didn't know. We were talking about it before about adding the category spoken word to the Grammys, and they was afraid it wasn't going to happen because they eliminated so many categories. But we found out that they do have the category spoken word. And Quincy made a post about who received it, but how he felt poets that he knew, he said, you guys should be up there. And
right.
that's like another reason why I say that to you, Dave, because, you know, your word is excellent. And
mm-hmm.
But and the only requirement is that you have 12 professionally produced pieces that have been distributed, you know, commercially, which, you know, that could be digital distribution through iTunes. You don't have to have in-store, but you do have to at least have the standard digital distribution, and it will be considered, you know, professionally distributed. And you can get 12 pieces on one project.
Right.
Then you could, you know, that would make you professional and makes you eligible for a Grammy.
Right.
And so one of the fans was saying that you guys should be. So I wanted people to hear from the fans how they feel about spoken word. And, you know, post just listen just to see what the fans are feeling. And it just helps us all grow.
Right.
Because we want to make sure that spoken word becomes a viable industry. So if somebody wants to do that as their main living, that they can, and we can feed our people some better food. So
right.
I bring to you Quincy Stallworth. Hi,
wow.
Quincy.
Hello, how you doing? I don't need that kind of introduction. That's incredible. I'm just a fan of real spoken word, that's all.
I know, but see, again, that's the power of words. Your words, what you posted, you know, drove me to create this show with this format.
Oh, okay, thank you.
It's like, and I was like, hey, if the poet sat and listened to the fans, what they say, how they viewed it, then it's another viewpoint, and it's so. And you said things that I feel myself, and I was like, oh, if I'm not, somebody else is feeling that, I wonder how many people actually feel that. So, Quincy, first of all, this is what I always do. David, he's from Florida. He just spit for us, did a wonderful piece, and he's going to do another piece for us. But he told us who he was. So I always start out because the world wants to know, They want to know who they're speaking with. So who is MC Stallworth?
Wow. I love it. I love it. Quincy Stallworth is a singer-songwriter from out of Philadelphia. And I only and mostly play in one venue called Panoramic Poetry. And while I have a large group of friends who are incredibly in love with my music, I barely ever play outside of Panoramic Poetry. And that's who Quincy Stallworth is.
Okay, to let everybody know, Panoramic Poetry is produced from October Gallery. Mr. Lamar Red Cross started it, and is still second and third Fridays.
Yes, second and third Fridays at 6352 Green Street, and now first and last Sundays at the Sedgwick Theater on 73rd at 335 Germantown Avenue.
Yeah,
it says 7135,
right.
Right. In the Sedgwick Theater, I love playing that because of the acoustic sound when I play my guitar. You know, it just really makes it almost a spiritual experience for me.
So that's in Philadelphia. So when you're visiting Philadelphia, come up. You definitely want to do Panoramic Poetry. Add it to your list. If you want to know some more things up in the Northeast, go to www.poetry247.com. A lot of the events are up here. So if you're coming up this way, get in touch. And just to give everybody background, in October Gallery, you can go to octobergallery.com, but they are the preeminent source for fine black art, I would basically say, in the world.
You came through Panoramic Poetry, and one of the things that Host Cruz will often talk
through,
about.
I used to run Panoramic when we used to, they also had another gallery on Lancaster Avenue back in the day. I used to run that.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been working with them since 96.
Wow.
Yep.
I wasn't even a fledgling in the art scene. And Cruz often says to us, he says, everything you hear on her album, well, her first album, so we heard that so many times, we had just gotten used to hearing it. And it's funny because I have songs that one of the people said, we hear it so much, it's like, when you want to put it on a CD? And it's just like, oh, I never thought about doing that. That's where you get the encouragement from. It's a really great place to start up at.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you, what is your... do you have a type of spoken word you prefer, or a style that you prefer? Or
Absolutely, I love I would say feminist-minded spoken word, something that speaks to the heart of keeping women strong, and that's primarily where my taste lies, and especially love poetry. It's like, you know, and I'm not talking, you know, the pornographic style. What I'm talking more of the actually about love poetry. That's my best book. That's the word I just like. You know, I show up more and more, and I encourage people to do more of.
Okay. All right. And who are some of your favorite spoken word artists?
Well, there is a powerful young female spoken word artist coming up out of, I believe she's from out of Camden, New Jersey. Her name is A Lyrical Thought, and she's just incredible. Then there's this young white cat from out of Glen Olden, PA, right outside Philly, named Jason DeFilippo. And this guy is, his content is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous that if people can be so young and have such insight, yet we have people in Congress with no insight and are so old. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, I can sit here and go into Crucial. I can go into the voice of Annalisa Rose. I can go into an incredible poet by the name of Realize Me. And this woman, she's a lesbian. And she goes into the whole idea of how good a strong woman is and how good a strong woman is and how she's not at a point where she doesn't hate all men, and she's not saying that we don't need men, but she's content and completed in her choices of being what she is. And I really like hearing that style of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So she's but oh, the list goes on. It's, I mean, I don't want to, you know, just clock it up. We talk, we promoting different poets like Khalid Smith from out of West Philly. She's an incredible poet. Of course, you know, Shiesta, AKA Miss Betty Fun. I'm telling you, he's changed lives. I'll tell you that. But you have some really, really incredible poets. Jazz with One, another incredible poet. She's a very versatile poet. She just released a book, actually, just last week, and it's called about a butterfly cutting their wings loose, and I mean carving out a butterfly's wings. And, and it's an incredible book of her poetry because she's been working on it like the last 10 years. So you know you're getting something really worth value when someone's been working on something for 10 years and it's not released.
So. All right. Well,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's a good
okay.
thing because these are poets a lot of people may not have heard of. And
right.
so just by you sharing, that's, you know, that's a good thing because, you know, when one person tells another. In marketing, always the goal, honestly, is word of mouth because
right.
people believe people who they trust. You know, if they don't know a stranger, they don't trust them. They're going to trust the words from somebody that they actually know. So if you like something and you tell your, a person that, that you like it and they trust you, they'll believe you. So the goal is always to get one person to tell another. So it's important that we do share these things, you know, if we want to make sure that spoken word gets heard. You know, just share different people and all that you like. You never know when somebody may sit, come across them, or maybe if they do a book or do a CD or something like that, they may run across it and they remember, you know what? So-and-so said that this was a good person, and that'd be maybe the
right.
one driving factor for them to pick it up.
Right.
Now, okay, so our next thing is, I guess my next question for you, where do you see the spoken word industry? Where do you see it now, and where do you see, and where would you like it to go, put it that way?
Well,
I
tell you where I see it going. And, you know, I mean, this is not a shameless plug because I'm actually a fan of this guy. Have you ever heard of the artist Eric Roberson? He's like an
yes.
underground
mm-hmm.
independent R&B soul artist. But he has this
have you heard of Eric David? Excuse
yeah,
me,
I've heard
Eric,
of,
have you heard? Okay, yeah.
I've heard
he's
him.
Out of
okay.
Jersey.
Eric Roberson has this incredible song on his album, his new album, Mr. Nice Guy, that just came out here in November, called
mm-hmm.
Lowest Draw. And on that album, on that song, he has this spoken word artist who's also an actor, a guy named, by the name of Omari Hardwick. If you're not familiar
mm-hmm.
with Omari Hardwick, he plays the husband of Janet Jackson in the movie For Colored Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he gives this incredible spoken word piece in this song, and it's not a rap, and it's not a trying to keep up the tempo of this song. It's not even, it's not an Eric B. with Jody Watley style thing, but it punches to the core of what spoken word artists could go and what they could be. And honestly, I tell every spoken word artist I encourage all the time, the black belt of spoken word is acting, because when you watch a film like Training Day, you watch that last scene where Denzel Washington gives that incredible, amusing speech about being King Kong. That's a spoken word. That's a spoken word piece
mm-hmm.
right there, because there's no interruption. They're just watching him speak. When you watch an incredible movie like The Matrix Reloaded, and you watch these long talking parts that the Hugo Weaving actor who plays Agent Smith has, these are spoken word art of pieces because there's no break. He's just continually giving you what he feels from out of the written word that they put on script for him to perform. And when you can translate the activity and the beauty and the color and the words to the point where people are believing it, that's when you take that step towards acting. And of course, we go acting can lead into just so many other things. But I believe the black belt of spoken word is acting, whether you're doing it on small stage or big stage.
Well, yeah, you know it is. Like if you go for touring, like the Pennsylvania Touring Society, they put spoken word under theater. You know, it comes under the category of theater. That is how they categorize it. And have either of you gentlemen seen When the Levees Broke, Spike Lee's documentary?
Yeah, no, honestly.
Did you see that piece at the end? That's an awesome piece the brother does at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm there with you, Quincy. I envision a lot, you know. I'm a Gemini. But the possibilities that I see is just like crazy. And I'm just glad now that more artists are seeing it. I think I did a survey under the Master Grill Project back in probably 2008. And I asked, you know, how do you view spoken word? Do you view it as an industry? And I think 99% of the artists didn't, because this was an artist survey, did not view it as an industry. So admit that 99% of the artists did not believe that spoken word could be viable enough that they could do it for a living. And that's one of the things that I thought was a problem, because it was like we have a couple spoken word artists who made it. And ones that really make it, and I understand so much where Dave's coming from, because I know ones that make it, they get so scared that they don't want to bring anyone else up with them. Like, I'm going to hoard all of this for myself. So what happens is you have a couple of stars, but a couple of stars, you know, a few people making six figures in spoken word or a high five figure does not an industry make. But there are so many revenue sources and income sources, and like, to me, spoken word is just so much, is diverse, you know. And if with some of the things they do with rap, you can definitely do with spoken word, because, again, like you said, there's more drama you can bring to the spoken word, you know, where a lot of times the rap, you know, they still stay kind of in that 16 bars and a hook. So, it keeps it there. So, you can do different things, but a lot of rap now has been overshadowed with everything else. A lot of times the singers are overshadowing it, and the music and all, and the rap just happens to be there. It just happened to be a rapper that made it. But it's supposed to be, you know, supposed to be a rap song. Like, it was some rap song. I can't even remember the song, but all I know, Jill Scott was on it, and she was phenomenal. I don't even remember. And it was a major rapper that she did the piece with, but I can't remember right now his name. I just remember Jill Scott was phenomenal, and I love what Jill Scott did. But that's how, because they're trying to be different, but they get so stuck in these 16 bars and a hook, that's how lost they get. Where I feel spoken word just has so much diversity, because you can do a piece all on its own, like, I don't know, Poetry for a Living. Poetry for a Living seems to be on its own, but Syce has a few pieces on his albums that are, you know, when they're produced well, sound really good because he did them alone. Another person that's really good speaking, you know, without music is Just Greg. He doesn't hardly record anything, but he has his piece, Tell Her She's Just a Queen. But that piece is great, and Greg does that, you know, without music, and it's excellent. And then at the same time, I've seen some people do some excellent things, you know, with music. And a good producer of Zamali. He's a good producer with some, you know, he does like the hip hop, but he throws a lot of kind of rock undertones. He does some bad things. Like, he did this one piece. It's, like, really good. It still needs some fixing up. He's a little too angry, and he came on top of Mrs. Betty Sun with too much cursing. But if you would take that out, the piece and what it's doing, and the music he has and how it's driving it, you know, it's called We Fight and We Rise, and he's telling young people, rise up. You know, you need to know love. You need to demand peace. You need to demand, if they're not giving it, then you take what you need, you know, and it's
right.
Like, just rise up. And as they're moving on and the strength of it, so is the music going with it. You know, it's just a good storytelling piece. And it's just something that's not normally done, you know, in that manner. And it's, like, really great. Like I said, it still need to go back and take off. You know, I think the cursing, you know, took away from it because it was just over the top with the, you know, it wasn't in line with the message. But still, what he did creatively, and it's just so many different creative things that can be done that we barely tapped into. And I just see from licensing, especially using in movies, like you said, in the dramatic parts. You know, so many pieces. You like, you take Mrs. Betty Sun, Miss Wise. You know, I can right now pull out excerpts from so many people pieces, just the way they're moving, that will go excellent with the way a film is moving. And you know, so I just see it in so many different avenues, so many different lights, and various revenue streams. And I just get excited when the artists are also there. Because once you guys can see it, the possibilities are really great. So I'm going to hold on for one moment. If you guys can hold on, we have a caller from the 314. I want to see who this is and if they want to speak. Hello from the 314. This is Industry Mondays. How are you? Hello?
I guess they're a little shy.
Okay. They may be. Sometimes people call in just to listen, and then that's cool. So we'll just bring them back down. So I just like to let you, you know, the poets know that, and like you heard just from a fan and a singer. So I like Quincy, you know, does the spoken word help inspire your art?
Oh, does it ever, man. Some of these writers are just like, you know, I'm not saying I'm doing any plagiarism, but, I mean, the inspiration is just ridiculous. You see these spoken word artists like El Poeta, and they're just like pouring out from their heart. El Poeta practically does it freestyle. And I don't even see that anymore. And they bring it home, and you know, then I say, wow, man, that's an incredible line. A poetess by the name of LQ, who I've only met by chance once, she did this incredible piece about praying for her man. And I wrote a song about praying for a friend because of that. But yeah, I mean, the sad part is if anyone, you know, goes nature mainstream like Jill Scott did back in the late 90s, again, you want to see a bunch of people flooding these songwriters, flooding these poetry things again, just so they can get inspiration. Because right now, a lot of songwriters are just trying to get inspiration off of their desire to be famous and rich and have a nice car and pay them off the bill. But the inspiration comes from the community of artists that you associate with.
Okay, all right. Well, what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to play Tell Her She's Just a Queen by Jess Gregg, and then I'll immediately want to go into another piece by... we have right here. I want to go to another piece. I want you just to spit another piece. I'm trying to get your right stage name. DC, the voice of reason out of Florida.
All righty.
So I'm going to do, tell her she's a queen. And as soon as that fades out, you come right in, DC, okay? All right, here we go.
She look unbelievable, downright unforgettable, just incredible. Ask her what's going on inside of her soul. Ask her what she wanna be when she grew up. She told me Beyonce, because she seemed to get the cash that way, by shaking her stash that way, the faster way. She just had a baby 2 months ago, and she wishes it could be so simple. Stretch marks of depression, mark her self-esteem. Once a beauty queen, relying on Maybelline. A well-oiled machine, she wears tight jeans. And some see-through shirts to boost her self-esteem. Gain attention from wandering eyes. Using her thighs to gain acceptance. Using her thighs to gain acceptance. Using her thick, beautiful black thighs to gain acceptance. Like it's cool to be addicted to erections. And not to mention she's no longer using protection. She is a falling star in the universe of low expectations. Wanting to be dear before the age of 18. Hoping death is the answer to all things and all the frustrations. She is an award miss education. 200 years of Willie Lynch. A single parent home. A psychiatrist that prescribes Ritalin because the mother had a drug addiction. 200 years of self-hatred, throwing on weaves and makeup. She looked 40 in the face, the breasts, the waist. But she really 15, rocking contacts that's green. A see-through shirt and some tight jeans. Literally wearing a self-esteem on her sleeves. And she can't wait for Christmas Eve so she can receive the fine things in life like a new trend in fashion. She ain't got to open them up, her physical due to brag. And you know the way she walk and the way she talk and the way she get hawked by those guys who double park just to pump up her ego while she walking in passion. Pink.
Come in.
Cause she look 5'11 in heels, but she really 5'7 for real. Selling nickel bags of weed for uncle to pay for that cell phone bill. And the body like 30, but the mind is like 9. Soul is dirty, so becoming spiritual is darn near impossible. While the mother is in front of a corner store, acting like a well-known whore. Father's inside of a jail cell, rearranging his religious beliefs. Trying to find Jesus in between the lines of the Quran. Searching for a reason, searching for a meaning, cause only God can stop the bleeding. So what do you tell the future when they do not know they passed? When they worship white presidents on cold hard cash? I mean, would they really worship Malcolm X if he was on a $5 bill? Or would Martin Luther King control the oil spill?
I have a dream. I have a dream.
So what do you tell the future? Tell that she is love, she is persistence, perseverance, determination, desire, strength, respect, cradle of the civilization that held all of us together, birthed by mothers that mothers like, mothers like Queen Nzinga, Harriet Tubman, Mary McLeod Bethune, Betsy Shabazz, birthing nations of a Marcus Garvey, of a Malcolm X, of a Martin Luther King, of a Fred Hampton. She is not Lil' Kim. She is not Foxy Brown. She is not Trina. But most importantly, tell her that she is a queen that is now free.
Free. Free. Free. Free. Free. Free. Free. Free.
Give me the words to say to that mother who's lost her son to parading gunshots. I mean, just for hanging out on the right block at the wrong time. Wishing moments like these would freeze just so death wouldn't be so greedy to conditions with itchy trigger fingers. But I guess when you've majored in a minor for so long, your life becomes etched in stone with no more spectators. Give me the words. Give me the words to say to that fatherless little girl who's been loved by hate's strong hands of discipline. Over and over again, till hate almost loved her to death. And right before her last breath was decided, she apologized to love that gave birth to redemption and was born in the form of forgiveness. God, give me the words. Give me the words to say to that first rape victim that mothered a generation of bastard children that was directed with no direction. And now for your own protection, I'm going to need you to put on a condom because this revelation goes deep. Deep enough to create soul ties just so that lies can no longer hide behind the truth. And for those that don't know, the God in me allows me to see more than you can see with my eyes closed. God, give me the words. Give me the words to say to these cowards that find courage within the hearts of gun barrels just to get a kiss from revenge. finding pleasure in making our loss a gain. And all the remains of these ticking time bombs we call children with arms too short to box with God that starve in this world, begging for change as if it owes you. Looking at death through unfamiliar eyes as if she doesn't know you. All because you became a product of the game that sold you. God, give me the words. Give me the words to say the poetry that'll make her respect me. With her already knowing that I'm a metaphor whore, and she cannot pay me enough with broken promises because regret is expensive, which is why I spit God's words in every sentence. And my pen gets relentless to those who try to dictate my pain on paper, based on ordered steps that I haven't even taken yet, because I've been raised from a long line of wise wives that's carried burdens on their backs just so that freedom can survive in restricted hands. Delivered from a mouthpiece that was born to preach, to reach beyond what these four walls confine me to, which makes it critical with immature tongues speak deaf that haven't even reached puberty yet. And life, I don't know what adversity has taught you, but I am sorry. Because even in this sick reality, you are beautiful. Because you are planted in perfection. You are life's obligation to fulfill its purpose. You are the color of what love feels like. You are God in the form of metaphors. You are poetry. And I thank you for giving me words.
That was awesome. I like that.
No, that was pretty
Quincy.
Good.
Quincy. Hey.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that, Quincy?
Did I hear?
Yeah, I said, did you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah. I thought you heard me say that was awesome. Yeah, I was in here. It's really good. It's really good work
going there. Yeah. I really lucked up on you, DC. That's the type of flow I'm used to hearing, but you don't get that every time. I'm used to that kind of power.
Right.
Sometimes I wonder if I, get spoiled because I don't know how I lucked up on hearing such powerful people. So, Quincy, you feel like freestyling anything or just giving us some?
Well, I don't know how well the songs will go. I don't know how well they'll go through the cell phone I'm on from inside the house.
Okay.
And I honestly don't do spoken word. I just perform. I just sing or songwrite at spoken word venues. But I'm such a huge fan of it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so that is great. We all, of course, without fans, art is not art until it communicates to somebody. So,
right.
You have to have a fan of it, If it's art and it doesn't touch anyone or communicate with anyone, it's not really art. It becomes art the moment it communicates. So you're needed. Very much needed. And, David, I'd like to ask you, what did you get out of what Quincy said? As a spoken word artist, what did you get out of?
I think he made a lot of good points, regarding the different artists and stuff. And he kind of pinpointed a lot of things that I said earlier. Spoken word is an art form that honestly needs to be taken seriously. I think it definitely can make it to the mainstream, but it can't lose the potency of what it was meant for in the first place. And that's
to be
to be effective to people. Poetry is it's a ministry. It's supposed to convict people, and it's supposed to make people have different insight, and it allows people to be transparent on the mic, and it kind of brings you into their lives. So, when you do that, you don't do that to expose, you do that to help. You know what I'm saying? So, once you lose that, you kind of lose, the art form. And you don't want it to get like other genres and just people doing it because they want to make money or they want to be famous or they want to be seen. Music was meant to make people feel better, to put people in a mood or a different mindset or, when you work out, you put rap music in because it gets you motivated to go. When you go to a church, you listen to gospel music because, it kind of soothes the soul.
when you listen to R&B music, you know, it's kind of like a love type thing. It kind of gets you in that mood. So everything is for a different reason. So,
yeah,
and whatever you do it for, you know what I'm saying, it's supposed to be effective in a good way, not just to be seen. And a lot of artists do it for the wrong reasons, and that's the only gripe that I have about it. Other than that, it's fine, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's true, you know. I guess, well, you know, you're always going to have that, but you can, you know, as a collective of artists,
right,
you know, kind of like, you know, not watchdog it, but you do want to help define it. And
right.
I don't even necessarily, I'm not saying I don't think probably, you know, I don't want anything too much to go mainstream because, you know, mainstream always wants to control us and control our message
right.
and to
exactly.
take ownership
exactly.
and control away. But,
right.
you know, there
right.
are niche markets in everything. I mean, there are niche markets around the world that make a lot of money because they're niche. They don't
right.
have to even have a billion people. But
right.
if it's
right.
a specialty that there's a group of people that really like it, then they really support it, then it can still survive.
Right.
And so, you know, like my goal is, well, this is my whole vision, just to give it to you. If you go to the bbsvaluetour.com or rewind.loud, it's a movement I have. Artists are the storytellers and the keeper of our culture. When we leave, it's the art that lives on. And that art speaks to who we are as a people, what we did, how we lived,
right.
what we believe in, and it's what we pass on.
Right.
So to me, as a community, the last thing we should have is a starving artist.
Right.
If my culture and history, and see, we're not taught that way, but if my culture, my history is important and I need to leave things for my generations to go on, I have to preserve it. I have to, in a sense, make sure we keep our artists.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's incumbent upon us to make sure that my artist doesn't get burned out or can only produce limited because, you know, they have a whole family and all, and, you know, 9 to 5, they're doing this other grind because they got to do whatever, and then they, you know, got to squeeze in moments, other places. But if they're 9 to 5-ing, which, you know, is taking up a large part of time one place, then they're doing a grind, then something's going to be missing on the end, like family, and, you know, you start to neglect stuff. So, you know, we want to breed healthy people.
But you know,
it's up to us to support. So if we would support, we can talk about recycling dollars, but literally if we support one another in our efforts,
You said something very earlier. You made a very good point. You said a lot. You don't want to become mainstream because a lot of them try to influence, you know, what you do. And I think the people that are bold enough to not compromise the integrity of their work and keep pushing and keep pushing and do what they do and not beat to other people's drum, then those are the people that are going to be successful at it. Like this one poet named Kayla, she said, in order to stand out, you got to stand up. And a lot of people are afraid to do that because they feel like, well, if I do something different and go bold enough, then it may self destruct or it may backfire. And a lot of people have that fear. But
few of them that have made it. They, you know, not made
right.
it, made it. It's like we don't have. It's not like nobody's doing 7 figures, but we
right.
have a few that make a living by it, and I know
right,
a couple
right.
personally that make a living by it, but they will not help another. And I actually known some to negatively influence this one. Of, you know, like, there's a woman, she's awesome, dynamite, and I don't want to say no names because people know, and I don't want to doubt there, but I met her, awesome poet, and she moved from one place to another place where should have been more poets, and she became obscure when she went down there, when there was a lot more poets, and so she really blew up down there, and, like, when she was up north, she's, like, hot. And I'm like, wow. And then I started listening to her. And she had changed, her outlook had changed, and then I started realizing these relationships. And then I know one person for sure, this one person who's done a lot, broke a lot of ground and everything, and I've had some poets come back, oh, no, no one's going to go with her, because if she finds out we're going on before her, because the poets are all strong, she's not going to, either we're not going to be able to do it, or she's not going to go on. She won't. And wow. It's like, you know, because they're too strong, they won't go on. And the things she must have said over time, they told me this, they told me that, they told me this. She literally stopped doing poetry. And wow. I just could not, and she is so awesome. And I just did not know how to go down. You know, it was, it became an image thing. Like, you know, all these things I'm just not used to with, you know. Like, you know, my look, who's the flyest, who got this clothes, all of this other stuff. And then, you know, they do stuff. She's helping them really make it because she's really good, degree in business and marketing. And didn't know how much behind the scenes she was there helping them. But when it came to her thing, because she also does some acting and got some thing, nobody helped her. Her thing went under. And it just was like, you know, wow. And so it's like so many people so scared, and they're thinking it's not enough room. And you, well, you know, first of all, what God has for us is for us. Nobody can take it away. God has it for you. Can't nobody take it away for you. So no need in being scared.
Exactly.
But, yeah, you know, but for those people who aren't based on that, so afraid that somebody can take it or there's not enough room. There is so much room, and there's room for everybody. But
exactly.
You know, we had a middle level of a few, like, I guess I kind of say middle level, because it wasn't the Sonia Sanchez and the Mira Baracas and all of them, the last post. It wasn't that group. But there was a group that made it a little bit, that toured, go across the overseas, all of that, got book CDs, do workshops, have been innovative. But you, to me, the quality of a leader is how many leaders can you breed. A good leader knows how to raise leaders. You know, so, you know. Yeah, and so that's the first thing to know. No one can't take away from you. I mean, people try to steal it. It can be a cutthroat, you know, business because, you know, you know, truth of the matter is a lot of artists, they do like the stage. They do like the accolades, you know, and they like being on stage. Like most performing artists would much prefer to perform, go out and perform all the time. You know, the recording is cool, but they want to go out. They just want a recording that helps them make money when they go out and perform. They like the contact. They like
it. I agree.
You know, the interaction. And but with that, some people, you know, because they move people so well. And, you know, we all have to be reminded sometimes because I've had some people get upset because they felt the crowd wasn't listening and this wasn't that, and I had to actually tell them, going, whoa. God gave you this. He gave you a message that you have to tell. It's not for you to judge who's listening, who's not listening, what they're doing, because that actually wasn't the case. But, you know, you're out in the fair, in a major park, bright the light, you can't see all what's going on.
And then situations like that, you know, when you're doing it and you're worried about what the crowd is doing, you're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for God's glory. You're doing it for yourself. And, you know, your ego is involved. And it's easy, just like any other profession, to get your ego involved in poetry because you feel like you writing it down, everybody's looking at you, everybody want to know who you are, and it's bigger than you. You know what I'm saying? It's the art form involved. It's, you know, God gives us these words as poets, as artists, as writers, and, you know, that, you know, it's not on our own glory. This is for God's glory. And you said something that I want to comment earlier, and I want to add this to it. And this is my thinking with poetry and just with anything that I do or whatever. The devil cannot stop what God already promised. He can only convince you to stop yourself. Mm-hmm. And those are words that I live by. So, you know, I don't believe the man telling me I can't do nothing. Because man didn't create me, man didn't create me, so they can't tipper and dictate on my future and what God already promised me. So, but I think you're right. A lot of people, you know, get caught up in stuff like that, and it takes away from, you know, the reason that they're doing it in the first place. So,
yeah, and as you stated, it when that gets in the way, it takes away the power of the message.
Exactly.
It'll take away. But those are just things. I mean, you know, everybody's human, and sometimes you get caught up in it, and you know, and you do want feedback from your audience to see, you know, just like kind of where you are. But sometimes it's like, you know, get to a certain point, you know, like these people aren't listening, they're not. Because I like to take spoken word artists in a place where spoken word artists normally aren't.
Right.
You know, to take you to a spoken word scene. All spoken word artists know where to find spoken word artists.
Right,
but I tell you, my thing is, wow, they could just hear what I heard.
Right.
So
right.
Most of the time, I'm not going to get them into the spoken word scene. So I try to bring the word to them, and we get treated poorly. We had one time, it's my organization I belong to. We were putting together Black Music Month event showcase. I'm on an organization, plus I bought a table. I have artists in there. I'm part of the planning. They say I'm number three. They put us up number seven after three horrible rappers.
Wow.
People ain't got up. Most people got up and walked away. They could go up. They have vendors. Half the people left. The other ones got up and walked away. There's hardly nobody in the seats. I had actually created this thing where I do a multi-performance piece because we never had that much time. And this way I get to showcase 3 to 4 spoken word artists I can showcase in, like, anywhere between 12 or 20 minutes. I can showcase 3 or 4 artists. So it's like a multi-performance piece I do. And I get the Harper. She generally directs it. But they go and Rev started off a cappella, and he's a wonderful baritone. I was born by the river. And Rab is deep baritone. He did that, and the whole everybody just stopped everything they were doing. And, you know, so wherever they were standing, they just stopped, man. He did his little part. So, you know, that let it off, and then the poets came, and they came in, and, you know, we switch in and out. And you have it has its own rhythm. Everybody got to do their little part. And at the end, Shice is the only one who had CDs with him, but Shice sold at least a few CDs at the end. I think he was probably the only artist in the whole showcase that had sold anything. But, you know, that's how powerful the piece was, and that's the power of the word. But people don't believe it, and that's why I work so hard to get it in the format to get people to listen because of their, you know, their viewpoint. I've had to go through different things like this, and so sometimes, you know, they be in formats and they think, oh, they ain't not going to listen to me, they're not going to hear me, but they actually do, you know, they really do, and it's just sometimes you may not know it, or sometimes people don't necessarily respond the way you think they're going to respond. But you know, it's a good thing, and I do think it's definitely getting more recognition. More different type of people are coming out to the open mics, and just like Sean was saying, we went from it was two days a month, and now you're up to 4 days at Panoramic, right?
Right, yeah. The following just gets bigger and bigger. And one time I walked into Panoramic on a Sunday, and there were so many people in there, and I was like, whoa, I started feeling uncomfortable because I got so used to the small groups, few new faces, mostly same old poets. I was like, wow, man, this is getting overwhelming, but, you know, change like that is a
good. Yeah. Well, this has really been great. So, Sean, you're our lead. So, as we close out, what we're going to do, we're going to close out on... I wanted to close out on We Rise, and I haven't gotten that up. Well, Blog Talk made a change, and I lost everything. Trying to get all of this stuff back up again. Things I take for granted that I already have on here, I don't. So, what's your favorite type of music? Sean?
Yeah.
Let me, Quincy. What's your favorite type of music?
Oh, R&B soul music, man, of course. Soul music is from the soul.
All righty. Soul music, okay. Let me see what we can roll out on then.
You got any Eric Robinson?
No, I don't have any Eric Robinson not right now.
Oh,
no,
man,
so.
I'm limited
because I lost everything I had, and I just had to keep uploading new things because they change the whole format, and when they did everything I had, and I've been on here since 2008,
right?
And I just lost all the stuff that I had, and so it's like, wow, what did I have back up there? And you know, I literally had to go back to CDs and bring them back up, and you know, it's hard to remember when you had like 2-3 years worth of music up here,
right?
And then they take it all away. We did Stephanie Renee. We, you don't know nothing. You like love stuff, so I'll do either. You mean Stand Guard? I'll do the Stand Guard, and that's by Ishe and Hezekiah. And baby, I'll Stand Guard over us. Won't let nothing come in between you and I. You probably like that. So before we run out on that, you know, since we're doing a celebration of words, so we're going to roll out on Stand Guard, and it's from Ishe and Hezekiah Project. It's a little hip-hop soul. And before we roll out, I just want to say thank you to everyone. Peace and love. And Quincy, this is our proverbial question. You have 30 seconds and the whole world listening. What do you have?
Spread love. Spread love. Take six. That's all I can say. Spread love.
All right. This has been Industry Mondays. The business of spoken word, and the fans have spoken. See you next time. We'll be back in January with Nansuni as your co-host, and we'll have a great new message for you, new topic. So just go to www.mastergrioradio.com, and we're going to roll out right now on Ishe and Hezekiah, Stand Guard.
Baby, I stand guard over us. Let nothing come in between you and I. Baby, I stand guard.
Girl, you know you see this line. Don't cross it. He's already spoken for. Yeah, you may be fine. Yeah, but he ain't paying you no mind when you walk by. Yeah, he looking past you, but he's still perfect. So you see my cape, I'll be right there. I'm to the rescue.
Baby, I stand guard over us. Let nothing come in between you and I. Baby, I stand guard over us. Let nothing come in between you and I. Baby, I stand guard.
Girl, you know that he is mine. Back
what to say. No, you say he ain't so okay to say. So I'm about to walk him down the aisle, you on my tail, though.